Hello and welcome to Elemental Energies with Chrisanne. And I am Chrisanne, and I am going to be your host on this metaphysical journey that we will share together. So welcome. This is my first podcast episode, first of many, I hope. My dog is laying right here next to me, so you're going to hear him throughout this lovely episode. But what we're going to be doing is we're going to go on a journey and exploring all things metaphysical, all metaphysical topics. The first topic that I have chosen that we're going to be talking about is going to be in a multiple part, multiple show topic. And we're going to be talking about divination. Divination is a way that you can use tools or no tools to see into the future, into the past, get some clarity into your present. Divination is a way to get another little bit of advice, another little bit of maybe confirmation on something that you already know, a little bit of insight. So we're going to be discussing multiple types of divination over the course of these multiple series that we're going to have. This first one that we're going to be talking about today in this series of divination topics, we're going to be discussing cards, tarot cards, oracle cards. We're going to be discussing all types of cards within this particular divination series. That being said, there are many types of cards that people have used over the generations. You know, I think in the last, 15, 20 years, we've come to know Hay House as being a very popular company that provided us with some wonderful angel cards and fairy cards and women empowerment cards, male empowerment cards, animal decks, all these wonderful oracle cards that were very different than what people like me had been used to. So a little about me. I am in my late 40s. I'm 48. So I have been reading with cards since the age of 5. I taught myself how to read the Rider-Waite deck starting at the age of 5. And I started reading for other people at the age of 8. So using the Rider-Waite deck, using that witchy deck that was out 40 plus years ago that looked like a deck of playing cards that did have some oracle words on them. Those were the only two decks that were available to me 40 plus years ago. So that was all I had. And I had been speaking to the dead since the age of 3. I'm very psychic. I'm gifted. I'm from a gifted family. So I had this awareness that was very different than what my peers had. And I knew it was very different. And frankly, it was slightly different than what the rest of my family members had as well. So I was naturally drawn to cards. A lot of my family members did have cards. My mom had cards in the house. So for me to pick up a deck and use it, it was very accessible, but it was never explained to me. Ever, 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 ever. In fact, the majority of the people in my family didn't know how to use them, coincidentally enough, which is, looking back, it's really comical if you think about it. So I was actually grateful for that because that had allowed me to make them my own. And coming from a place of being a child where I didn't have any preconceived notions of what this was supposed to be, I didn't even really know what they were. I mean, it was just something that was in the house. And I was always gravitating towards them. I was always picking them up. And finally, I was able to get my own deck. So I didn't have any preconceived notions of what they were supposed to do, what the meanings were, what this was supposed to mean if this was next to this card. I didn't have any of that. And to me, that was part of the gift because I could make it my own. So that being said, those were the types of cards that were available 40 plus years ago. I mean, these have been used for generations. Divination as a whole have been used since the beginning of time, whether it is to see where the stars are, where the moon is, because where the moon is also is a form of divination. It's astrology. Knowing whether you're the pregnant woman is going to have a male or female, and you hold a thread with a needle over the pregnant woman's belly, that's a form of divination. So there's so many types of divination that we have grown accustomed to that we just take for granted within our culture or your culture. So many cultures have many different forms of divination. And so we're going to break it up and we're going to talk more about cards tonight. So how I was saying that in the last 15, 20 years, we have become accustomed to what we thought was the standard with Hay House cards. And don't get me wrong, Hay House cards are fantastic. I think I own them all. But that was not the beginning of decks. And I think that was the beginning of people's awareness of decks, especially if you came from a different religious background. Different backgrounds had different beliefs and different things that were allowed for people to be able to utilize. And because Hay House published angel decks, that made them more widely accessible and accepted, which was very different from the experience of using the Rider-Waite deck from a very early age. If people saw me carrying around the Rider-Waite deck, it was, oh, she's a witch. Oh, she's doing this, she's doing that. And that's how it has been treated for centuries. When people don't have an understanding of something, they decide to condemn it. And, you know, unfortunately, that is still going on. I'm not a fan of that. I do not approve of that by any stretch of the imagination. But forms of divination, in my experience, from what I have seen, have always been very closeted things. You wanted to know something, you would go to my grandparents when they were home, not at my grandfather's place of work. You would go when they were home and you kind of set up an appointment and you would have my grandmother read somebody's handwriting and tell you what was going on. Or my grandfather would read their tea leaves and tell you what was going on. Or he would read the folds in their head, because my grandfather was a barber. So he would read all that and for people. And, you know, my grandmother taught me how to read somebody's face from 10 paces away and tell you everything about them. And it was always kind of neat. Those were forms of divination, but they were very closeted. And I think with the more acceptance of having, and I'm going to use the example of Hay House again, because Hay House really broke into this world of having these be widely accepted across generations, having these decks be accepted across so many different boundaries. It was really a cool thing to see, because this has happened in my lifetime. You know, I was able to see these people that were condemning this one moment and the next moment being like, hey, look what I have, look what I can do. And it was like, oh my goodness, you're so hypocritical. On one hand, it was very hypocritical. And I was extremely well aware of that. But on the other hand, it was like, welcome to my world. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful to have people understand that these simple tools were not conjuring the devil or whatever they had in their preconceived minds. These were simply tools that were accessible for anybody, any age, any way you recognize, whatever your gender to be, I don't care. These were accessible tools for everybody. And it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful to have this more out in the open.
I have never really been in the broom closet. I am very much open with, I have been doing divination my entire life, pick lifetimes, because I'm actually a psychic who does readings in the Akashic Records, which is your soul's history and your soul's past lives. And I see what happened in multiple lifetimes and how that affects this lifetime and what's going on here. So, and that's just part of what I do as a psychic. But it is wonderful to see that that is something that Hay House has brought to the forefront, and I commend them for it. Louise Hay was a very insightful, progressive woman who had a wonderful, wonderful heart. And I'm really glad that her legacy was open-heartedness to include everybody. And that was wonderful. Because using cards is a very simple, easy way to have a form of divination literally at your fingertips. So there's so many different ways you can use cards. There's so many different types of cards. So let's talk about the different types of cards. So we're going to break them down into three different categories. You have your traditional tarot cards, you have your traditional playing cards, and then you have your oracle cards. And there's other decks that fall within all of that. So you're using tarot. It's a very specific, I call it mathematical equation that you use. You can take the cards and use them in your own spreads and create different spreads, but traditionally, there's a specific way that you place the tarot cards in front of you, and you read them based on the position of the card, whether the card is up or down, reversed, upright, whether it's next to this one or next to that one. And there's all these different nuances when you're reading tarot cards. And it's very specific. And there are sticklers out there that are very, sticklers to how the tarot is read. And there's not a lot of people that are openly accepting that I have seen of people that take the tarot and make them their own. Like I have. There are, I shouldn't say that. There are many people that are making the tarot their own, especially now. Then I did not see it. So that's tarot. Cartomancy is using traditional playing cards and reading the playing cards as if it was a tarot card. Is it upright? Is it reversed? What is the position? What is the suit? Just like tarot cards. Now, here's the difference. Tarot cards have a major arcana and a minor arcana. The major arcana covers cards like the chariot, the sun, the goddess, the what, death, all of those type of cards. Cartomancy with playing cards only has the four suits. Tarot cards has four suits as well, and the suits can vary depending on the deck. I have noticed that there's a lot more progressive decks that are out now that some decks say north, south, east, west. Those are the four suits. Other decks will have swords, staves, cups, pentacles, coins, you pick it. They pick four. It depends on the author. It depends on the subject matter. But there's traditionally the major arcana and the minor arcana. And there it's broken down into the four suits. And the four suits are broken down into their different cards. That is very comparable to cartomancy, which is the traditional playing cards. So there's where the similarities lie. The difference is, like I said, in cartomancy with the traditional playing cards, there isn't a minor and major arcana. Okay? So still a mathematical equation in order to utilize them. You can make them your own. You absolutely can do that with any of these. You can do the traditional spread with cartomancy as if you're using tarot cards. You can do seven cards, you can do three cards, you can do four cards, you can do as many cards as you want. And believe it or not, I have developed a system when I'm using tarot that I use the entire deck for one reading. The entire deck is the unfolding story. And it depends on how I lay it and how they come out, whether they're upright, whether they're reversed, whether they're in this line or that line. But it just mathematically works out that it's the entire deck. Figured that one out like 20 something years ago, and it was kind of neat. I was kind of having fun with that. But anyways, I digress. And there's 78 cards in a deck, a traditional tarot. When we're talking oracle cards, there's typically 44 cards in a deck. You're seeing up to 52 cards in a deck for a lot of decks now, but typically it's 44 cards. That doesn't mean they're all that way, but it just means on average, you're getting 44 cards in the deck. You are not getting major arcana, minor arcana. You're not getting suits. You're not getting any of that. Each card in an oracle deck can stand on its own. It is its own meaning. It can be read as related to the card that's next to it. Some of them are read as an upright versus a reverse, but most of them in an oracle deck are not read with reversals. When I'm doing tarot or cartomancy, I always read reversals. And what that means is if the card is upside down versus right side up. And the reason I read reversals when I'm doing tarot or cartomancy is if something upright might be negative, but reverse, it's positive. Fantastic. When I'm doing oracle, that meaning of that card stands on its own. Whether it's positive or negative, that's the meaning of the card, no matter what direction it faces. Now, there are some authors that are out there that have published decks that are oracle decks that do say they include reversals. That is very particular to a small amount of oracle cards, oracle decks. And it's up to you as the reader and how you want to read it. I, across the board, do not read reversals when I'm doing oracle cards. Oracle cards encompass angel decks, fairy decks. You've got your animal decks. You've got your, there's even astrology oracle decks. There's empowerment decks, both male and female empowerment decks. You've got crystal decks that are oracle decks. You know, there's such a wide variety of theme and subject matter when it comes to oracle decks. Now, I am also seeing a wide variety of subject matter when it comes to tarot decks as well. I'm seeing more in oracle. There's still a lot in tarot, and I do carry a lot, and I'll give you my contact information at the end. But I am seeing a wider variety in oracle, and I'm actually more drawn to oracle myself right now. I find that it's freer to make the decks my own when I'm using an oracle deck. When I read with decks, I have oracle decks, I have developed a style where I read with 20 plus decks for one reading. And the reason I do that is because I had noticed that my clients were listening to me. You know, I always joke that you're going to remember what a psychic tells you more than you're going to remember what your wife is going to tell you, you know, or your mother or your husband, whatever. But I found people were listening, but they weren't understanding the gravity of what I was saying. But yet when I use 20 decks and many times the same or equivalent card will come up in this deck, in this deck, in this deck, say it's the Love Yourself card. If I pull one deck and there, boom, there's the Love Yourself card. I pull it three decks down, there's another Love Yourself card. Pull it again, pull another deck, there's another Love Yourself card. At that point, I'm stopping the reading and I'm saying to the person, you're not listening. You need to pay attention that you are valid enough to receive love. from yourself. This is just an example. And, you know, it's very poignant for me to understand that they're not getting it. And when it comes up again and again and again, that's when I say, okay, listen, we need to talk about this, because this is something that you need to listen to, because you are just as justified to receive this, or whatever the card is, as opposed to somebody else. You deserve this, or you need to pay attention to this, or you're in a bad situation, you need to pay attention to that situation. Whatever the cards might be, it serves as a way of saying, hello, you're not listening, and heads up. Now, that's just one way that I use oracle cards. You can certainly use oracle cards to pull one card a day in the morning. How's my day going to be? Or if you're going to pull an angel deck, what angel's going to be with me today? You're going to pull an animal deck. What animal guide is going to be with me today? Or what do the animals need me to know? Or what is it that I need to focus on? Or pull a card before you meditate. What is a great way for me to focus my meditation today on this angel, this location? There are decks that give you locations. They're nothing but locations. You know, think of the decks that you have or the decks that you're drawn to. How can you use that within your life? You can also use them as writing prompts. You can use them as artistic prompts. All my art, because I'm an artist as well, all my art is divinely guided. Whether I'm making a rubber stamped card or I am painting a picture on canvas, all of my art is divinely guided. You can have a card be a prompt. I have a lot of people that have come to me that are counselors or psychiatrists that also like to have decks, inspirational decks, in their office for their clients to pick a deck when they're done their session. And this is something you can focus on for the week, they'll say. You can also pull a deck and say, maybe at the end of the week, what did I learn? What have I learned from this week? Or what do I still need to learn? What is a good place for me to put my attention? You know, I don't care if you pull one card a day, you pull three cards a day. I don't care if you pull a card at night. Do what works for you. Most decks come with a book. So if you're not able to make the deck your own, you're not able to think outside the box, that's okay. Refer to the book. If a deck doesn't come with a book, it's because there's so much information written on the card that you simply don't need a book in order to add to that information. And there's a lot of decks like that out there as well. And when that's the case, most times you're getting more cards in the deck because the book isn't taking up space in the box, which I prefer. So figure out a way that you can incorporate decks into your life. I find it to be a really cool way for me to get confirmation. Just because I'm a psychic doesn't mean I don't need confirmation as well. You know, I have a great group of psychics around me, and we will read for each other when somebody has a trauma going on, or somebody has like a really pressing decision to make. You know, we can help each other out. It's another way to get confirmation for something that you may already know or not know, or to help somebody else out. You know, the other thing that I like about oracle cards is the majority of them have stunning imagery. And the imagery alone can serve as an inspiration, or there's that confirmation as well. A lot of times, we're such a very visual society. A lot of times we look and we do judge a book, whether it's right or wrong, before we delve into what is that person about, or what is that book about, or what is that card about. So a lot of times these decks that are coming out now have stunning illustrations and imagery. And sometimes that is enough to give somebody a little bit of peace or a little bit of inspiration. The words are fantastic, and the words are there as well to serve as another boost. But look at all the different layers of information that you're getting. You know, if you're somebody like me that looks at the picture of an ocean, I am automatically drawn to the ocean. I'm feeling that cool breeze on my face. I'm feeling my feet in the cool sand. I'm feeling that calm and peace come over me, you know, as I enjoy that beautiful blue color of the sky touching the beautiful blue ocean. One card elicits more from me than just that simple words or that simple picture. It brings me to a place. It brings me to an experience. It brings me to what I need and when I need it. It's quite interesting when I pull cards for myself. You know, I always chuckle that the card I need is the card that comes up. And be careful what you wish for. It's not always what you think it's going to be. And that's part of our human experience. You know, that's part of us being humans, being here, learning our lessons that we need to within this lifetime. And decks are a fantastic way to help us gently along our path. You know, cards serve as such a visual reminder of what it is that we need or don't need within this moment of our path. And I, for one, absolutely adore cards. In my personal collection, I have well over 400 decks, and I use them. There are very few decks that I don't use, frankly. I have some decks that are collector decks that I kind of put away, and I maybe won't touch those. But I actively use my decks because I am a professional psychic, so I'm reading for other people using my decks. I'm reading for myself, too, or my loved ones. You know, decks for me have served such a wonderful higher purpose that they have given me the answers that I've needed or the answers that I don't necessarily want to confront, but maybe need to, and in a very gentle, easy way. Cards are just there to help us. When you want to pick them up, you use them. You don't have to. If you don't want to use them, don't pick them up. You're not drawn to that deck, move on to another deck. Gift that one to somebody else. And that's the other thing I want to talk about. There is a huge fallacy that's going around that you can't buy your own deck because it's bad luck. That is a bunch of baloney. That is one of my biggest pet peeves. That is so nails on a chalkboard to me. That is not the case. I firmly believe that was started by the church to get people away from divination and get them away from using cards. And it's just like people say you can't buy an opal for yourself because it's bad luck. Yeah, that was started by the diamond people, so give me a break. You can buy decks for yourself, and I am living proof of it. I have well over 400 decks, and I am a working psychic who has been a working psychic for almost 30 years, being paid for it. And yeah, over 30 years, actually. So give me a break. That's not the case. And yes, I am passionate about that. I get all fired up. So yeah, don't fall for that. You want a deck, you buy yourself a deck. There is nothing wrong with that. And you know, don't wait for somebody to do something for you. Do it for yourself. Be empowered enough to say, if that's what I want to do and that's what I want to learn, then do it. And if you are somewhere where you don't have access to decks, make your own deck. You know, you can do this yourself. Cut up a piece of paper, make them the size of playing cards. I've made my own decks. I've got some that I've watercolored. And sometimes I use them and sometimes I don't. But, you know, I kind of keep them there. It's my little pretty deck that I made. And that's just for myself. That's not one that I've ever had published. Probably never will. I'm going to have other decks published soon, I hope. But, you know, you can always make something for yourself if you don't have access to it. I don't care if you just write a simple word on it. Love. Love yourself. or, you know, forgive. You can have that. Connect to nature. There's another great one that you can have. Be of inspiration. These are great things. Or you can create a deck where you write the name of all the different angels and see what angel is going to come in and help you. Or you can make a deck where you write down different flowers and see what flower energy is going to come to you. Make a deck and write different crystals and what crystal energy is going to come to you. Write down different animals. See what animals are going to come and help. You know, so many people connect with animals before they connect with other people. And hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Use the animals to have you have inspiration. If angels is not your thing, and maybe animals are, use animal decks. Use what works for you. I'm not going to come over to your house and say, you can't use that deck. I hope you're using any deck, some deck, all of the decks. Use what works for you. You know, I even had a deck that I have received, and I got it, and the box was all destroyed, and I'd called the company. I'm like, listen, I need a new deck. And I decided, because I had that deck, I was going to gift cards to other people from that deck. So there were three poignant cards within that deck that I set up in my office because they meant a lot to me. I gave one to my son. He's got it hanging up in his room. And then, you know, different people that had come in to my life, I'm like, here, pick a deck, pick a card from this deck, because this is something you need to carry with you. So even if you do something like that with a deck, all my Reiki students, I put one of the cards, I have a deck that I use that I put a card in each bag. I give everybody a goodie bag of my Reiki students. So everybody gets an inspirational card in their bag from this particular deck I have. So I've broken up a couple of different decks because people have needed that and they've needed it to have with them. I don't care if you put it on your mirror, which is what a lot of people tell me they do, or they keep it in their pocketbook, or, you know, they put it on their vanity. I don't care. You put it on your fridge if you want. Put it where it's of inspiration to you. So there's so many different ways that you can use decks to give you inspiration, to give somebody else inspiration. I don't care if you buy a deck, you take a hole punch, you poke a hole in the top of each card, you string a ribbon through it, and you hang them on your Christmas tree. And you tell everybody that comes in, grab an inspiration off the Christmas tree. Or you stick one on a birthday package. Do what works for you. It's kind of neat how when you share something, your heart grows. You're sharing a little piece of an inspiration with somebody, whether you're doing a reading for somebody or you're handing out a card for somebody. It's very powerful to see somebody's visual transformation after having a reading and getting the confirmation that they needed. It's wonderful for me as the person who facilitated that for them. And frankly, I didn't tell them something they didn't already know, to be honest. I was giving them the confirmation of what they already knew. When I'm doing my mediumship work and I'm speaking to those on the other side, that's slightly different. That's messages from the other side. And that's a very different other emotional level of things. And we're not talking about that tonight. But when it comes to using cards as your form of divination, it's really cool. And I love when I teach people how to read with 20 plus decks, because when they get my style of reading, it's a whole different level of confidence that comes over them. And that's what I want. That's what I want to instill in people, because it's powerful. It's really cool to take back your power. And that's part of what cards are. It's about taking back your power and owning it and saying, you know what? I pulled the snake card today, and the snake is all about being grounded, and it's about being connected to who and what you are. And that's a powerful thing. That's a cool thing. Or if I'm reading tarot and I have the death card that comes up, that's because there's some new adventure that's coming up. You know, I was at a show one time and I was on the radio and I pulled a card for a woman. She was an older woman. And I got the fertility card for her. And she freaked out, which was really funny. And she's like, I'm not having any more children. That card is wrong. And I'm like, that's not what the fertility card is all about. And she, frankly, wasn't in the space to hear me. She did eventually hear me at the end of the show because I told her, I'm like, because she kept coming up to me. I wasn't chasing her. She kept coming up to me. I was like, listen, fertility is also about being fertile with ideas and having new creative ways to do things. Fertility isn't just about creating life. It's about creating a new way to do things and thinking outside the box and being fertile with wonderful ideas. And when she finally heard it, she heard it. And I think people have a misconception of some of the cards. They're reading it, they're judging a book by its cover. They're reading it at face value and not actually understanding what it can be. So if you're interested in learning cards and you're having a hard time understanding what they are, go ahead and read the book. But if you can pick up a deck and you're like, oh my gosh, I connect with this deck. This fairy deck speaks to me and it means so much to me and I don't need to look at the book. I know what this means and I am ready to go. Fantastic. Make it your own. I do suggest you practice on yourself. Practice with family and friends. Read for your dog, your cat, for crying out loud. Set up stuffed animals, read for them. Pick up the phone and call people. You know, there's also a lot of groups on Facebook that will let people do free readings or practice for other people and ask for feedback. You know, you can absolutely do that. So whether you're pulling one card or you're doing a full tarot spread or you're doing three oracle cards and one tarot card, you know, think about that because I've combined those before. I used to read with runestones all the time. So not only would I pull cards, but I would also add a rune as well. Use everything within your tool bag. We're going to be talking about all different types of divination. This just happens to be cards that we're discussing. And the thing I like about cards, and that's why I chose cards first to talk about, is the freedom that the cards give you, the creativity that the cards give you. You are so able to think outside the box when you're using cards, and it's fantastic, and it's wonderful, and it's easy. That's the other thing. If a deck is too hard for you, it's not the right deck for you. And there's nothing wrong with that. Put it on the shelf. Come back to it in a couple of months. If it's still not the right deck for you, pass it on to somebody else. You know, trade with somebody or whatever. You know, people barter all the time. Just say, hey, I'm looking to trade this deck. Who wants to trade with me? Whatever. Make sure you clear it. You know, you can clear a deck energetically. You can clear it with smudge, sage, whatever. You know, you can clear it with selenite too. Lots of different ways to clear them. You can also clear your decks with the light of the full moon or the new moon by placing your decks in the windowsill. I keep a lot of selenite by my decks. Just about on every shelf where my decks are is either selenite or shungite as well, is another crystal that I like to use. So I do use my crystals to keep my decks clear. I do sage my office somewhat regularly. I'm allergic to a lot of that stuff. So I have to be careful of what it is that I use. So I mostly use crystals. So you can carry your cards in a bag. There's nothing that says it has to be in a black silk bag. That's the other thing that's been going around for a long time. People have to carry their tarot in a black silk bag or purple silk. There's two different versions. That's not the case. I take mine and I chuck them in this turquoise bag that I have when I go to shows. I have a big, huge turquoise toiletry bag that fits 20 decks. I don't carry them in a box. I just take them out of the box and I put them in this toiletry bag that I have. And I just chuck that in my bag with my crystals and I go to shows. And there's no right or wrong. You know, do I have special tablecloth things that I put down when I'm doing my cards? Well, only if I'm at a show. And the only reason I like that special tablecloth thing is because my mother made it for me. You know, other than that, I used to just pick a pretty scarf. But I also pick something that's not visually distracting. So you have to make sure it's not like super bright in colors and it's not like got a crazy pattern, because you want people to be able to focus on the imagery of the card or the words of the card or what you're saying about the card and not be distracted by the tablecloth or the scarf or the whatever that's underneath your cards. Let the cards speak for themselves. So that's a great tip that I will give you. So the other thing that I want to tell you when it comes to working with cards is pick what speaks to you. Okay? It's as simple as that. I happen to have a variety of cards in a multitude of themes. So I have cards in a love theme, angel theme, fairy theme, crystal theme, animal theme, witchy theme. And then I have subcategories. So not only will I have animal decks, but then I have the elementals in the animal decks. So I have like mermaids and unicorns and, you know, like that type of stuff. So for me, I can just go to whatever theme, because they're all arranged on my shelves according to themes. So I never pick the decks when I'm reading for somebody. They're guides, they're angels, they're loved ones, my guides, my angels, my loved ones, their animal spirit guides, my animal spirit guides. They all come in and tell me what deck to pull and in what order while they're there in front of me. So that's how I know, okay, go to the flower deck section, boom, pull this one, there's your flowers. Okay, because maybe this person is a gardener and they need to be grounded and they understand the world of flowers. And I have had so many people that is their understanding, or they're like, oh my gosh, I was just working in the garden 2 days ago and I know I need to order whatever flowers, or I need to move the whatever flowers to another section of my garden. And that's how their brain works. They understand that. Whereas me, I love the crystal decks. I love decks by the illustrator Jasmine Beckett Griffith. She's got these like little dolls that have very wide, very big eyes. My mom doesn't care for those decks. I love those decks. Those speak to me. Whereas I'm not necessarily an angel deck person. I have a lot of angel decks, but those aren't necessarily my favorites. Of course, I like everything. I like all the decks. I mean, let's just face it. I have over 400. Of course, I like them all. But depending on my mood, maybe today's not an angel card day. Maybe today's a empowerment day and I really need a positive empowerment deck. You know, because there are decks that every single card is happy-go-lucky, which is wonderful if you're going to pull a card a day. I don't find it to be the reality of life. My particular decks that I like are a balance of having, yeah, a lot of positive, but some other kick-you-in-the-butt deck sprinkled in. And, you know, that's the reality of life. The reality of life is not all lollipops and rainbows. It's storm clouds sprinkled in with the rainbows. So those are the decks that I happen to gravitate towards, because it's positive and negative, and it's reality. And that's just what I happen to gravitate to. You may gravitate to something else. Perfectly fine. So I tell you, find the deck that you like. Find the deck that speaks to you. Make that deck your own. You know, you can take the deck and you can put it under your pillow and put your energy within the deck before you really connect with it. Put it in the light of the full moon or the new moon. Put some selenite on it to clear it. Make it yours. You know, even if you just hold it in your hands for 5 minutes. One hand on top, one hand on bottom. And you're putting your heart into your deck and you're connecting with your deck and you're letting your deck know you're going to work with this deck. That's a cool thing to do. So go ahead and find the deck that speaks to you and work with it. You know, I got my son's first deck for him when he may have been just before five, but he was around the age of five. And he picked out a tarot deck, and he hasn't really used it. He's 13 now. He more uses oracle cards, and he does like the animal decks. Those speak to him a lot. And he has two primary decks. There's some children's decks out there, and I had gotten him one of the Hay House Children's Angel decks too. So, you know, he has those, but sometimes he uses them, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he doesn't even need to use decks. I half the time don't need to use decks. I think my person needs the visual of who I'm reading for. And there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But there are times I'll do an hour reading and pull no decks whatsoever. And then there's times I'm doing a half an hour reading and I'm pulling more than 20 decks. It depends on the person sitting in front of me and what do they need. If you are reading for yourself, what is it that you need? Recognize that. You want to look at a pretty deck? Look at a pretty deck. That's absolutely fantastic. You know, I think decks are a very accessible tool that we have at our fingertips, literally, to be able to use right now. And if you have a hard time finding decks, contact me. I have over 350 variety that I'm selling. I have a website. You can check out the website, www.chrisann-jeff.com. chrisann-jeff.com. Now, there is not 350 on the website right now. There's about 160 something on the website. I'm in the transition of a website right now, so things are shifting. But I do have over 350 varieties of decks for sale. So if there's something that you're interested in, you can always pick up the phone and call the shop, which the phone number in the United States is 207-641-5070. If I'm unable to reach the phone, leave me a text. And I ask that that's for serious inquiries only, please. Everything, like I said, the website is in transition. So, you know, but if there's something you're looking for deck-wise, crystal-wise too, because we have a lot of crystals. If there's something that you're looking for and you can't find it, yes, I do have it. I am shipping throughout the United States using priority shipping from the United States Postal Service. So, you know, let me know if there's something that you're looking for. I am a huge fan of decks. I use them all the time. And also, when you go to the website, check out my classes on how to read with 20 plus decks, because that is a certificate class. But the other thing that I want to do with all of my podcasts here is pull a card for energy and inspiration of the week. So the first deck in this first series that we're going to do was a deck that I was very drawn to for tonight. And it is a deck that's called the Angels of Atlantis Oracle Cards. It is a wonderful deck, actually. It's by Stuart Pierce. I do have it for sale here. And the deck, of course, the card, of course, that came up is the forgiveness card. You know, I chuckle because I do regularly pull cards for people when I'm doing my Facebook Lives. Check out my Facebook Lives. That's on the Facebook page, Elemental Energies with Chrisann and Jeff. And I do live readings there. And there are times that I will do a card for the energy of the week, or I'll pull a card for a person and that speaks to that person. But on occasion, I will pull a card of the week. And sometimes that card speaks to me strongly. That's the case tonight. So the card that we have from Angels of Atlantis is the forgiveness card. Now, when the forgiveness card comes up, there's a dual meaning. So yes, it is talking about forgiving other people, forgiving others for what they have done or not done, or what you have perceived that they have done. You can forgive other people so that you can make space in your heart and have that move on. But here's the other side of the forgiveness card. So when the forgiveness card comes up, it also means to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself for being in the situation. Forgive yourself for saying or not saying what you should have or shouldn't have said. Forgive yourself. Because a lot of times when a trauma of any sort happens, we tend to turn it on ourselves. Oh, how could I be in that situation? How could I do this? How could I do that? Blah, 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 blah. Whatever. Forgive yourself is just as important and sometimes harder than forgiving the other people. So that's the card of the week. It's the forgiveness card. And I chuckle because it is something I'm actively working on myself. You know, hey, we all are real. We're all in this human experience together, you know? And when this forgiveness card comes up, it's also talking about calling in Archangel Jophiel to take the burden from you. If you are not able to forgive and move past and move on, call in Jophiel. Call in Jophiel and say, help, take this burden from me. Now, this card also, the Angels of Atlantis card, is also saying by chanting the word Ha, H-A, Ha, by chanting that three times, your heart chakra will feel charged and cleared. So let's do this together. Ha, ha, ha. And if you need to do it more than three times, do it seven times. I don't care how many times you do it. If you need to do that every hour, do it every hour. Because when you're saying that ha, it's coming from your heart chakra. Do it. Feel it. Experience it. It's clearing your heart. You know, we've been in a tumultuous time lately. And within this tumultuous energy that we've been in, to pull this forgiveness card is talking about forgiving others, forgiving ourselves. This is a very powerful card for right now. And I hope that this energy can bring you some peace, not only for this week, but for the weeks, the months, and the years to come. We always have a time where we need to step back, review, and reassess, and allow the cards to help you with that. Allow the cards to bring you that inspiration. I hope this has been very enlightening and empowering for you to know that you can pick up a simple deck of tarot cards, playing cards, or oracle cards, or decks that you've made for yourself, and know that this can bring you that inspiration, or you can share the inspiration with other people. So once again, this is Chris Ann, and you've been listening to Elemental Energies with Chris Ann. Be free.